Welcome to Morning Manna, February the 11th, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have allowed us another opportunity to continue our study of your word. We're grateful for all that you teach so that we might learn and our lives might be transformed according to that word. We ask today that you would fill us with understanding so that we might go forward in obedience. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Today we've reached the 9th chapter of the book of Romans, and we begin at verse 1. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are the Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, but are of Israel. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this time, this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why dost he find yet fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hast not the potter power over the clay, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endureth with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, as he said also to Osi, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Esaias also cried concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodoma and been made like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then, that the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. In the book Acts of the Apostles, page 374, and paragraph 1, it says this, In this letter, Paul gave free expression to his burden in behalf of the Jews. Ever since his conversion, he had longed to help his Jewish brethren to gain a clear understanding of the gospel message. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is, he declared, that they might be saved. It was no ordinary desire that the apostle felt. Constantly he was petitioning God to work in behalf of the Israelites who had failed to recognize Jesus of Nazareth as the promised Messiah. I say the truth in Christ, he assured the believers at Rome, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. The Jews were God's chosen people, through whom he had purposed to bless the entire race. From among them, God had raised up many prophets. These had foretold the advent of a Redeemer, who was to be rejected and slain by those who should have been the first to recognize him as the promised one. The prophet Isaiah, looking down through the centuries and witnessing the rejection of prophet after prophet, and finally of the Son of God, was inspired to write concerning the acceptance of the Redeemer by those who had never before been numbered among the children of Israel. Referring to this prophecy, Paul declares, Esaias is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Even though Israel rejected his son, God did not reject them. Listen to Paul as he continues the argument. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scriptures saith of Elias? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Israel had stumbled and fallen, but this did not make it impossible for them to rise again. In answer to the question, have they stumbled that they should fall? The apostle replies, God forbid, but rather through all their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? It was God's purpose that his grace should be revealed through the Gentiles as well as among the Israelites. This had been plainly outlined in Old Testament prophecies. The apostle uses some of these prophecies in his argument. Hath not the potter power over the clay, he inquires, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles? As he said also in OC, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, they shall cry unto them and be called the children of the living God. Notwithstanding Israel's failure as a nation, there remained among them a goodly remnant of such as should be saved. As the time of the Savior's advent, there were faithful men and women who had received with gladness the message of John the Baptist, and had thus been led to study anew the prophecies concerning the Messiah. When the early Christian church was founded, it was composed of these faithful Jews who recognized Jesus of Nazareth as the one for whom Advent they had been longing. It is to this remnant that Paul refers when he writes, if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. Paul likens the remnant in Israel to a noble olive tree, some of whose branches have been broken off. He compares the Gentiles to branches from a wild olive tree grafted into the parent stock. If some of the branches be broken off, he writes to the Gentile believers, and thou being a wild olive tree wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. The branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. Through unbelief and the rejection of heaven's purpose for her, Israel as a nation had lost her connection with God. But the branches that had been separated from the parent stock, God was able to reunite with the true stock of Israel, the remnant who had remained true to the God of their fathers. They also, the apostle declares, of these broken branches, if they abide not still in unbelief, still be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. If thou, he writes to the Gentiles, were cut off of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to the nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happening to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away the ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gift and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy, they also may obtain mercy. For God had concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. All the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Thus Paul shows that God is abundantly able to transform the hearts of Jew and Gentile alike, and to grant to every believer in Christ the blessings promised to Israel. He repeats Isaiah's declaration concerning God's people. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. At the time when Jerusalem was destroyed and the temple laid in ruins, many thousands of Jews were sold to serve as bondmen in heathen lands. Like wrecks on a desert shore, they were scattered among the nations. For 1800 years, the Jews have wandered from land to land throughout the world. And in no place have they been given the privilege of regaining their ancient prestige as a nation. Maligned, hated, persecuted from century to century, theirs has been a heritage of suffering. Notwithstanding the awful doom pronounced upon the Jews as a nation at the time of their rejection of Jesus of Nazareth, they have lived from age to age, many noble, God-fearing Jewish men and women who have suffered in silence. God hath comforted their hearts in affliction and has beheld with pity their terrible situation. He has heard the agonizing prayers of those who have sought him with all the heart for a right understanding of his word. Some have learned to see in the lowly Nazarene, whom their forefathers rejected and crucified, the true Messiah of earlier prophecies so long obscured by tradition and misinterpretation. Their hearts have been filled with gratitude to God for the unspeakable gift he bestows upon every human being who chooses to accept Christ as a personal Savior. It is this class that Isaiah referred to in his prophecy, a remnant saved. From Paul's day to the present time, God, by his Holy Spirit, has been calling after the Jew as well as the Gentile. There is no respect of persons with God, declared Paul. The apostle regarded himself as debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, as well as to the Jews, but he never lost sight of the decided advantages possessed by the Jews over others, chiefly because that they unto them were committed the oracles of God. The gospel, he declared, is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the gospel of Christ equally efficacious for Jew and Gentile, that Paul in his epistle to the Romans declared he was not ashamed. When this gospel shall be presented in its fullness to the Jews, many will accept Christ as the Messiah. Among Christian ministers, there are only a few who feel called upon to labor for the Jewish people. But to those who have been often passed by, as well as to all others, the message of mercy and hope in Christ is to come. In the closing proclamation of the gospel, when special work is to be done for classes of people hitherto neglected, God expects his messengers to take particular interest in the Jewish people, whom they find in all parts of the earth. As the Old Testament scriptures are blended with the New in an explanation of Jehovah's eternal purpose, this will be to many of the Jews as the dawn of a new creation, the resurrection of the soul. As they see the Christ of the gospel dispensation portrayed in the pages of the Old Testament scripture, and perceive how clearly the New Testament explains the Old, their slumbering faculties will be aroused, and they will recognize Christ as the Savior of the world. Many will by faith receive Christ as their Redeemer. To them will be fulfilled the words, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 1, verse 12. What a powerful message of assurance. God has not abandoned the Jews. He has not abandoned any human being, but seeks to bring the word of God to each heart. This morning, he brings the word to our hearts. Let us respond with obedience and with humility. Let us embrace that which God has given so that we might walk according to his will in all things. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the assurance that it brings. We ask that you would continue to fill us with truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, February the 11th, 2020.